A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan on December 27, 1987, entitled, So Don't Be Afraid. The scripture reading is Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. The text for the sermon is Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
On this last Lord's Day of the year, this first Sunday in Christmastide, this celebration of Christmas 1987, let these words from the angel be written upon your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Henry Nouwen, in a recent book, has suggested that we in the 20th century live most of our lives in the house of fear. And in that little book entitled Lifelines, he extends to us an invitation to move from the house of fear to the house of love. Christmas is preeminently the time of love. It is the time that love came down. And the announcement of the gift was prefaced with the words of the angel, "Do not be afraid." It is true that fear rages in our lives and in our world. I don't know whether the world is more fearful than ever it has been. It may simply be that we are more aware than generations before us of the reasons for fear. And certainly there are good reasons for fear. Anyone living on his own gifts and capacities and ingenuities and cleverness has every right to fear. For the world is a fearful place, and there is good cause to be afraid. But the word of the gospel comes to us again and again. That simple invitation, don't be afraid. When you think of all of the reasons for fear, you can almost be obsessed by them. Our lives are so often shaped by the questions with which we live. And what are the questions with which we live? Are they not survival questions? Think of the questions that we might raise upon rising on any given day. The what-if questions. The what-if questions. What if today? And you can fill in the rest. What if today I lost my job? What if today one near to me was stricken? What if today I suffered this or that? What if today the world exploded in great conflagration? What if today the whole economy fell apart? What if, what if, what if? Or there are the how questions, also fundamental survival questions. Given thus and so, how will I be able to cope? How will I do it if thus and so happens? How if, and on and on and on, and our lives can absolutely be shaped by the questions that we ask, which are survival questions. Henry Nouwen points out very interestingly something that I'm sure we're all aware of if we are at all familiar with the Gospels. It is that Jesus generally never answered a question directly. I think as I realize that I have sometimes been frustrated with Jesus. I've thought, come on, Jesus, that's a good question. You always sidestep the question. But think about it. He never really responded to the question. He never gave a direct answer. Is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom? Can we sit on your right hand and on your left? By what authority do you do these things? And on and on and on. And Jesus never took the bait. He refused to allow those kinds of questions to shape reality. And so he always gave an oblique answer that subtly rephrased the question. Because most of the questions that came to Jesus are the very kinds of questions that we ask. And they're survival questions. They are questions that arise out of our anxiety. Our anxiety about today and our anxiety about tomorrow. How will it be? What if? How can I ever? And Jesus recognized that the questions themselves reflected a set of mind and heart that was filled with anxiety and fear. And so, he always gave an answer that turned the question around. Jesus invites us to move beyond survival questions, to move out of the house of fear and into the house of love. For he knew that the opposite of love is not hate, but fear. And the opposite of fear is not security, but love. John said it well. Perfect love casteth out fear. And I have been struck again reflecting on the gospel story, how often those words came. There was old Zacharias, a priest whose wife was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was without child, one of the great burdens with which a woman in that day in society had to live. And an angel appeared to Zacharias. And the opening words were, "Zacharias, don't be afraid." And there was a young adolescent peasant girl whose name was Mary, and I suppose that Mary shared all of the questions and the fears that normally go with normal adolescence. And when there's a rustling of wings and the presence of a bright one confronting one, one's heart would tend to be filled with fear. And so the angel says, "Fear not, Mary." And of course, that put Mary in a very, very peculiar position, but it wasn't easy for Joseph either. And so if we move to Matthew's gospel, we hear of another angel visitant whose opening words to Joseph are, "Fear not, Joseph." And, of course, as was just sung so beautifully, the shepherds rejoiced, but only after their hearts were filled with terror and the angel had addressed them with those same words, "Don't be afraid." At the end of the Gospels, the women approached a tomb with a stone rolled away, and their hearts were filled with fear, and the angel came back with the same words, "Don't be afraid." Those words come up continuously in the narrative, the marvelous story that we're celebrating in this season of the year, and throughout the events of the life of Jesus by which our salvation was wrought. And they're always the same. Don't be afraid. We stand on the threshold of a new year with its course uncharted. And the gospel to us today is a word, don't be afraid. We stand in the midst of our human situation with all of its normal uncertainty and unpredictability. The word of the gospel to us today is, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I took the hand of my sister in Kalamazoo in the hospital yesterday and offered prayer with her. She's in the midst of her chemotherapy fighting cancer, and I wanted to say to her, don't be afraid, but as I prayed, I heard myself saying, oh God, we are afraid. We are afraid. But we come to you with our fears. And then visited a dear uncle who is, one might hope, in the last stages of his life because of his suffering now, and to have him break out into convulsive crying at our very presence. And I wanted to say, Uncle Steve, don't be afraid. But we are afraid. Of course we're afraid. The Christian gospel is not some fairy tale full of romance and sentimentality that denies the reality of the things that we fear. Of course we're afraid. Our life is a fragile thing. And whatever stands on the threshold of the new year for you may even now cause you to say in all honesty, yes, oh God, I'm afraid. And the gospel message this morning comes to you and says, don't be afraid. But it is not a suggestion that you simply whistle in the dark or that you block out the reality or that you live with denial. The gospel message is a message of Jesus who was born outside of the inn and was crucified outside of the city and who has drunk the cup of our suffering to its dregs. And it is because of His presence in the world that the gospel continually reiterates the words, don't be afraid. Not because what you are facing is a nothing. Not because there is not the possibility of peril and terror. But because unto us has been born a Savior whose name is Emmanuel, which name means God with us, God with us, God with us, in our flesh, in our world, in our history, in our suffering, in our darkness, God with us. And so I heard myself saying as I prayed over my sister, oh God, we are afraid, but we come to you with our fears. We have one to whom to come. We have a place to go. We have a place to bring our fears and for a moment at least to know, nevertheless, in spite of it all and through it all, God is with us. And the Christmas miracle is the declaration, the enactment in our world of that invasion of God that will ultimately reverse all of the darkness and overcome all of the tragedy and finally bring us with all we love into His eternal presence in that day that shall know no setting sun when we shall stand all together with hallelujahs sounding from our lips. That is reality. There are all sorts of things of which to be afraid, but there is a greater reality that has come to us. And so, I need not just whistle a happy tune. I can say to myself, unto us has been born a Savior. So don't be afraid. So don't be afraid. That wonderful, wonderful word of God to His Old Testament people, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And when you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. And through the rivers, you will not be overwhelmed. When you go through the fire, you will not be consumed, and the flame will not kindle against you. For I am the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Unto us is born a Savior. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.